Good morning, everyone, again. Okay, so let's just pray and we'll begin with the message today. Lord, we want to thank you for this time and we want to bless, Lord, today. Even as we begin, O Lord God, with the reason, O Lord God, for which you came, O Lord God. And Lord, we know that it is so special for all of us. Lord, may we know and understand more of you, O Lord God, as we, Lord, listen to your word, O Lord God, and may the Holy Spirit speak into our hearts, O Lord God. Thank you, dear God, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. So we start with the Christmas series. So today is 26th, okay? And so by 25th, we will have like almost four sermons on Christmas. So today's topic is the miracle of the moment. It's a Christmas series. First is the miracle of the moment. Now, just for all of us to think about it, how many of us love to cook? Love to cook, okay? And many of us have done this barbecue, no? Barbecue also. Many of us have done barbecue at home. When we go to Nilshi or when we go to Alibag, we do barbecues, right? So now suppose, okay, for that barbecue, there's a particular timing. Okay, so for example, if I say I have cooked the barbecue for 30 minutes or say 25 minutes, for the 27th minute, what will happen to the meat? It will burn. Very good. It will burn. Similarly, baking or cooking or anything. Why I'm giving you cooking examples is because I can relate to it. Okay, you can relate to something like, example, for people who are traveling. Suppose if you are traveling and you're going out and the flight is for, say for example, 9 a.m. and you come and you board, like you land at the airport at 9:01 a.m. Do you think you'll get the flight? What will happen? Flight will take off. Very good. I love this interaction. Okay. So, what do we mean? The whole essence of all this is that timing is very important. Punctuality is important, right? Timing is important. For example, when to put the correct ingredient when you're cooking. Like we can't put it just before the oil is not heated up, or when we take off to you know get that flight, or when we do this project. So timing is very important, right? If we miss out on that time, then what happens is there's a lot of rectification that has to be done. There's a lot of delays that happens and all those things. Similarly, you know, the Christmas is something to do with God's timing. Okay, it was God's timing or God's intention that Jesus would be born at this particular time. That Jesus would come for our redemption. Jesus would come to save us at this particular time. It was not 1,000 years earlier. It was not 1,000 years later. It was at the perfect time. Now, that is why it is called the miracle of the moment. Okay. So, it says in Galatians 4:4, when the time came to completion, when the time came to completion, okay, it says that, yeah, but when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the option to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, the spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. Right? It is so beautiful, isn't it? So it says that, but when the set time had fully come, God knows the intention. God intends a time and it is come. So Christmas is not anything like, you know, every December we celebrate. No. Whenever we remember, it is the miracle of the moment, the time that God had set for our redemption. Can you tell your neighbor, God set a time for my redemption? God set a time for my redemption. Yes. It is not like any day or any time. God knows that you need to be saved. We were sinful. We were in deep in our, you know, iniquities or guilt, shame. And particular time he says, here the Savior is born for you. The Christmas, you know, the of the moment. Yes, when the Bible says, when the time came to completion, God sent his son. But the reality is, most people miss the miracle of the moment. You know how? Because people were very busy criticizing and saying, oh, okay, who is Mary? Who is Joseph? And you know, what is happening? So they were so busy in the situations that were happening. And they missed that miracle. They missed the miracle of the moment. Most people did not recognize the significance of Christ's birth at the time. People were much too busy to pay attention to the young girl giving birth to her first child out in a stable there in Bethlehem. So at just the right mystery, Jesus was born. The coming of Christ into the world was not a matter of chance or coincidence. So it is not a coincidence that Christmas just happened. No, it is very thoughtfully, very well planned by God. In fact, it is planned before even the world began, before even, you know, people were born, before even we were born, this thing was planned. His coming was part of God's divine plan established before the foundation of the world. So, we will look into it and we will see that, you know, how many people missed onto it is because, you know, only few people recognize that, yes, there is a Savior who is born. And they did not want to miss that moment. Many times we have schedules, our things, that we might just miss this moment God wants to do in our lives. We may miss at what God wants to convey to us. So, like for example, the shepherds were like taking care of their flock, but still they heard the angels sing. Still they heard and they went to the manger, to where Jesus was there. But at the same time, Herod also heard, right? But he missed it. He missed the opportunity of being saved, recognized gift of salvation, right? So that way, many times we may miss that just by a moment and say, oh, okay, that is just like, you know, a random baby born. No, but we need to know what is this gift of Christmas that God is trying to give us. Okay, so the next is, he came at the right. So he came at the right moment. What do you mean by that? So there is a beautiful story that Jesus himself, you know, goes through, and you know, he tries to replicate what God intends to do in our lives. Now there was a man named Lazarus who was sick. Right, we know the story. Some of us may know, some of us may not know. So we'll just go through the story. So there was a man named Lazarus who was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. This Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, let us go back to Judea. But Rabbi, they said, a short while ago, the Jews there tried to stone you, yet you are going back. Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they see by this world's light. It is when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light. After he had said this, he went on to tell them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up. Now, when did the news come? When he was sick, unwell. But apparently what happened? He Jesus is late? No? Some of us are saying yes and some are saying no. Okay, Jesus, we don't know. Jesus had a lot of work to do, so he said, okay, I'll go later. And then by the time this guy could not, you know, retain, so he died. But what does he say? What did Jesus say here in verse 4? Can somebody read it loudly? Verse 4? Correct. When he heard this, Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Alright, so we'll read further. Now there is a suspense whether what will happen. His disciples replied, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better. Now disciples are so innocent, no? Like, you know, they don't know, what do you mean by sleeping? He is dead. His disciples replied, then Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe, but let us go to him. Then Thomas said to the rest of the disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for how many days? 4 days. Okay. So Lazarus was dead and he was there in the tomb for 4 days now. Okay. So then, what happens? Verse 21 onwards, we'll read. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. So she also thought that Jesus is late. Okay. If you would have come here earlier, my brother wouldn't have died. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection. Okay. Resurrection and the life. Verse 25. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in Lord, she replied, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. What did she say in verse 27? I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is come into the world. After she said this, she went back and called her sister, Mary, aside. The teacher is here, she said, and is asking for you. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. Then the verse begins, Jesus wept. Okay, then the Jews said, see how he loved him. Then fast forward, we'll go to verse 40. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. Called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. All things in our lives take place for the glory of God. Right? So can we tell our neighbor, all things take place for the glory of God? Yes. So we may feel that it is time yet. But in the scripture it is mentioned he came at the right moment. Situation in my life which is not working out. Why there is so much of trouble? Why there is no happiness? Or why this project is taking so much of time? Why so many things are happening? But Christmas, okay, the message of Christmas itself should alarm or alert us, saying, wait, it is not a late. If Jesus was born at the proper time to save me, to redeem me, even my situations will be taken care of. Just like Lazarus, you know, Jesus was delaying not purposely, but he knew that it is to show the glory of God, right? Similarly, every situation in our life, we may feel, because we are human, we have our calculations and saying, ah, yes, hoga, yes, hoga. Then equivalent to this thing, but it's not like that. If you're praying for somebody who needs to be changed, who needs to know the Lord, hold on. There is hope. It is never delayed in God's kingdom. God will do it in His perfect time. If you are waiting for your marriage, okay, wait, hold on. God will do it in His perfect time. So, you know, we can always remember, yes, perfect timing, the miracle of the moment. And the miracle of the moment will be spoken into my life just like it was spoken in Lazarus's life, right? So this Christmas is going to be new. Jesus will come and renew our lives. We may have been waiting for quite some time now, but remember, he comes at the right moment. Also, yes, the essence of miracle totally depends on the timing. Just like I said, no, initially, the baking, the cooking, it is all depending on the time. Wait for anything. Or if everything happened very perfectly, smoothly, just like I had planned, what will happen to me? I will become very, you know, self-dependent or self-sufficient. I'll say, wow, I can do everything perfect. Went to college, I did this. I got a job, I got married, I got children, everything perfect timing. Then where is a dependency on God? Where is God's timing in this? I am doing it everything according to my calculation and according to my expectation. But the essence of miracle, okay, comes alive only when there is God's timing present there. Right? If I do it all by myself, then we won't experience that awe feeling. Or we won't experience that God's, you know, doing in everything that I do, right? So it is always the essence of the miracle depends totally on the timing. If it is not, up our faith. So just to stir up our faith, you know, if Jesus would have reached this place just on time, my faith, their faith wouldn't have stirred up. They said, ha, theek hai, we will meet him in heaven, we will do this. But because Jesus came there, at the God's timing, the miracle was seen, or what do you say, projected or displayed or magnified, and God was glorified through this, right? So this Christmas, my response should be, Lord, I believe you will come and I want to draw closer to you. Okay, so that doesn't mean that, oh, I will do whatever I feel like because God has his own timing, so let me just while away time. No, let's utilize this time and say, Lord, I believe you will come. I believe you will come and I want to draw closer to you. Let's utilize this time to draw more closer to God. All right. So we will move on to the next. The miracle of the moment, he provides at the right moment. Okay. He provides at the right moment. How do we know? Psalm 145:15 says, all eyes look to you and you give them their food at the proper time. Have you seen the birds in the air? They get their food, right? Do they have to rush to the train? Do they have to stop at any signals? No. Do they have to see the time and say, oh, I'm late for work? No. Everybody, the flowers, the birds, everyone gets their provision on time. So in Psalm 104:21 it says, all of them wait for you to give them their food at the right time. Deuteronomy 11, it says, I will provide rain for your land in the proper time, the autumn and spring rains, and you will harvest your grain, new wine and oil. Even in Romans 5:6 it says, for while we were still helpless, at the appointed time, Christ died for the ungodly. Right? When do you need a miracle? When we have no more options, no more resources. We are in a position to receive a miracle from God. He has promised to come at just the right time and provide just what you need for the moment. When we are utterly helpless, Christ still comes to us today. So we will look into it more in detail when, sometime later God tested Abraham. Now who is Abraham? Abraham was our forefather. Okay, so we say, we are children of Abraham. Even in the Bible it is given. We are children of Abraham. Now, to be children of Abraham, Abraham himself should have a child, right? But what happened was he never had a child till his later age. Like he was 100 years old when God said, okay, you're going to have a son. So his first son was born at that age, at the age of 100. And what happened? As God wanted to test Abraham. Okay, very clearly written in the Bible that God tested Abraham. So what did he say? He said to him, Abraham, and Abraham replied, here I am. Then God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain. I will show you. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him. Saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you. Okay, so what did he say? We will worship and we will come back to you. We will come back to you. What did God tell Abraham? What was the demand? Sacrifice. So how was he so confident that we will come back to you? Because he knew in his heart that God provide. He didn't have a lamb for sacrifice. He didn't have anything. Because we see here that in verse 6, Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac. And he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, father, yes, my son, Abraham replied, the fire and wood are here. Isaac said, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Where is the lamb? And what did he tell the servants? We will be back after the sacrifice. Lamb is not there. They are going for sacrifice. It is very evident that something is cooking up somewhere. Okay. So Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. Actually, this is also a pointer to Christ. Okay. So where he says that God himself will provide Jesus for us, okay, as a sacrifice. God himself will provide Jesus. When? On the day of Christmas. Okay, that means Christmas is not 25th December as far as our understanding is. It is a day when the Son of God was born. Okay, and that is why we rejoice so much, because we were supposed to be sacrificed just like Isaac. Because we have done so much wrong and God cannot see sin. God is so holy. We sang today, no? God, you are holy. You are holy. You are holy. And this is what happened. We were not supposed to live. We were supposed to die. But what did Abraham say? God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering. Okay, that means so that our sin is on our behalf. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Can we resemble, any resemblance here with Jesus? Right? He was also bound on the cross. Right? And he became the literal sacrifice. Here at least, there was a substitution provided. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham, here I am, he replied. do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horn. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. Can we tell our neighbor, the Lord will provide? Yeah. So when there was nothing, but he went out in faith, he took the fire, he took the wood, and he said, the Lord will provide, the Lord will provide. Every time he went on confessing this. Many times in our situation also the same thing happens. We don't have anything at that point. And we say that, aray, we keep grumbling, right? We say, ye nahi hai mere paas, wo nahi hai mere paas. I wish I had this. I wish I was born in such and such family. I wish I lived in a palace. Okay, that is like a little too much. But then, you know, even small things. I wish I had a vehicle of my own so that I can travel. There are so many wants and wants and wants. But we never think of this aspect where we say God will provide in faith. You know, and many times we go, it's pointless in praying also. So we give up on praying. But when we see Abraham, what did he do? He went on confessing the same thing. The servants asked him, where is a sacrifice? He said, God will provide. His son asked him, where is a sacrifice? He said, God will provide. In fact, here also, God said, because, you know, your faith, so much you had faith on me, I will provide. I will provide. That should be our attitude. Now, how does that connect to Christmas? Christmas is God's provision of His Son to us. So, Christmas should remind us that definitely God provided His Son, right? Similarly, He will provide for me my daily needs, my provide for me every now and then. Christmas should be an alarm, an alert, saying that yes, God provided His Son. He didn't have anything anywhere. He was born in a manger. God will provide for me too. So, what all God can provide? God can provide not only materialistically. God provides us with encouragement. God provides us with energy. God provides us with inspiration. God provides us with people who will lift us up. God provides us with His salvation. And finally, God provided His Son. That is the miracle of the moment. This Christmas, let's prepare our hearts to receive God's provision. Let's not forget that He provided an ultimate sacrifice for our redemption, and that we may want us to God. So Christmas is all about remembering that God kept His promise of long ago and provided us with His Son. Right? So can we tell our neighbor, God provided us His Son? Yes. So this Christmas, God provides us with His Son. Finally, He says, now is the right moment. So now. So initially we were asking, no, when, Lord? When we saw Lazarus dying, we said, no, when? Oh. Here God is saying, He says, now is the right moment. How? How do I know? So there is a small parable that Jesus says, which is basically the coming of Jesus. So we know that there was a birth of Jesus, but we hope for the second coming of Jesus. It says that at the time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Who's the bridegroom? Jesus. Okay. So the bridegroom is coming. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both of them. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him, to the wedding banquet and the door was shut. Later the others also came. Lord, Lord, they said, open the door for us. But he replied, truly I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour that the Lord will come. Alright? So, we are celebrating Christmas today. We are celebrating, we remember the birth of Jesus, but there will be a day when he will come back again. And we will for that also. So today is a time to remember the day when he was born. And also a day to remind ourselves, I better be prepared. Okay, he says, this is the right moment. I should not wait till the last. Say, okay, time is now. I still have time to die. So then on my deathbed, I'll confess that Jesus is Lord. No, nothing like that. Now is the time. Now is the moment. In 2 Corinthians 6:2, it says, I heard you in an acceptable time and I helped you in the day of salvation. Look, now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. We may believe or have an idea that if I don't do it now, it will never happen. But that's not true. On the other hand, many people have waited for the right time. But what if God is saying the right time is now? Act on it and keep and we should not be procrastinating whatever God is calling us for. So the day of Christmas reminds us that I better not procrastinate. Because just like the day of Christmas when Jesus was born, a day like this will also come. And hope we are not found out like this foolish virgins where we are not prepared. Okay, so Christmas also should remind us and alert us that hello, hello, the time is right now. Can you? Right now? Yes. The birth of Jesus had precious moments. Okay, and it was for a time which many of them grabbed, like the shepherd. Right? When they heard, hark the herald, went and they saw the beautiful birth of Jesus. They were, that those were the precious moments. But there were people also who missed those precious moments. So that is why it says, act now, because now is the time to see the miracles, to see the redemption of God coming in our lives. So time is for change. Time is now to act. Time is now to repent. Time is now to forgive. Time is now to welcome Jesus into our lives. Time is now to live. Time is now to love. Abhi mere paas time nahi hai. Tomorrow I'll do it. Tomorrow I'll do it. Tomorrow will be like very late, right? And we will be caught unaware what's happening. And so Christmas should remind us, no, the time is now. It's Christmas. Jesus is born. He will very soon come back too. The redemption is already given to us. We better introspect. So Christmas is a time of introspection. Jesus was born in a manger so that he can be easily approachable. For example, I was also looking into this whole aspect where Jesus, if Jesus would have been born in a palace, do you think everybody could have approached? For example, if the shepherd would knock the door of the, you know, palace, do you think they would be entertained? No. Nobody except for the rich and the poor, right? But what happened? Jesus was born in a manger. It was in open air where he was accessible to all. Shepherd, kings, you know, angels. Anybody could come and see that baby and say, wow, Jesus is born for me, for you. So the time is now to go and visit Jesus. Visit this Jesus with our repentant heart. You know, like how it says, time is now to forgive. Let's not hold grudges and say, okay, I am not doing this because, Lord, I hate that person. Let's not do that. Let's love, let's live, you know, and time is now to give. Give all that we have. Maybe we don't have money to give, but maybe we have our time. Maybe we have our skills, our talents to give God. Or maybe we have no time, but we have finances. So maybe we can give our finance. Maybe we have compassion to give. Maybe we have some kind of, you know, skills or any kind of, you know, creative. Let's not wait for that opportunity, to miss that opportunity. So it says that, you know, that Christmas is the miracle of the moment to set all things right. Not because it is end of the year, right? Like how we take the resolution. But because we recall what God has done for us. So He provided His Son for us at the right time, right? So He provided His Son, and we ought to take action and say, God, here we come. This is the miracle of the moment. Can we tell each other, this is the miracle of the moment? Yes. So Christmas is the miracle of the moment.